Chapter 10. The next day at breakfast, Jin Sichuan awkwardly tried to say good morning to Jiang Yanli, awkwardly asked how reviving the sect was going, awkwardly placed his foot in his mouth several times, and finally awkwardly fled. Wei Wuxian had had enough.
I can't take it anymore. I don't want them to get married, but Shujia clearly still likes him, and at least he's trying now. This is ridiculous.
He followed Jin Sichuan to a courtyard and found him banging his head against a wall. Although he quickly stopped doing that as soon as he realized Wei Wuxian was there. What do you want? Wei Wuxian pinched the bridge of his nose. Look, he said, let's start with this. We were both dumbasses back at Cloud Recesses, right? I was an arrogant shit and you were a snobby brat. You thought my sister was below your station, and you were mad that your mom promised you to her without actually caring about your feelings. And I get that, at least the second part of it. Because you didn't know her, you couldn't know how amazing she is. And I probably would have been pretty pissed off too if everyone kept being happy for me over something I didn't want. So let's forgive and forget all that bullshit, okay? Jin Sichuan looked suspicious, like he was waiting for the trap. Which Wei Wuxian supposed wasn't unreasonable for a man who had grown up in the cesspool that was Koi Tower. But he nodded and said, okay. You clearly actually like my sister now that you've gotten to know her. But you have no idea how to talk to her. So all you do is upset her, and it's getting to the point where it's stressing me out, which is just ridiculous because, believe me, Sichuan, I have enough problems right now.
I agree, but only reluctantly, Jin Sichuan said.
Sure, fine, Wei Wuxian took a deep breath. Here are some of the things my sister likes. Cooking, calligraphy, children. Small, soft animals, like rabbits. Flowers and gardens. Try talking about these things instead of night hunting or how awesome your family is.
Ah. Jin Sichuan hung his head, flustered. I don't know anything about most of these things.
Then learn. There's a kitchen here. I'm sure you can find somebody in Lanling with a rabbit hutch and a garden. She likes music, too, even though she doesn't play. And she likes dancing. She's the sweetest person you'll ever meet, and she's too good for you. But what the hell? Lan Chan is way too good for me, so I guess there's no accounting for taste. And don't agree with that so easily. He added, making Jin Sichuan roll his eyes. Look, you want to marry her, don't you? I saw you at the banquet at Nightless City, how you were all bright-eyed waiting for her answer. Of course you want to marry her. She's amazing. You know how you can show her that besides taking an interest in her interests? Maybe ask how her family is doing. She worries about us, but she doesn't like to show that to us because she knows we'll tell her we're fine. She'd probably like to talk to somebody about it, especially someone who understands complicated families. Jiang Cheng's becoming a really good sect leader, and she's proud of him. It'll mean the world to her if you pay him a couple of compliments. You don't have to compliment me. That's a bridge too far. I get that.
Jin Sichuan gave a snort, but then nodded and said, okay.
What do you think of this whole situation with the Wen prisoners?
Jin Sichuan's gaze slid to one side. I'm sure I haven't thought about it at all.
Yes, you have. You're pretty, but you're not stupid. I know that your cousin murdered a bunch of innocent civilians in cold blood. Maybe you're fine with that. I don't know. But Shujia wasn't fine with it. Did you meet Wen Qing and Wen Ying during the war?
Yes, Jin Sichuan said.
Wen Qing is an amazing doctor, right? And Wen Ying is a good man who was always there to help.
whether it was to go around distributing food or carry firewood or help the injured off the battlefield. Jin Sichuan nodded. Wen Qing saved my life after the Wens attacked Lotus Pier, Wei Wuxian continued. And hell, she probably saved Jiang Cheng's life and maybe Lan Chan's too, because her willingness to help meant they didn't have to do something stupid in their efforts to find me. And after all this was over, Wen Qing and Shi Jie became pretty good friends. How do you think Wen Qing feels about the fact that her people are being forced to live in a prison camp? What do you want from me? Jin Sichuan asked. I don't want anything, Wei Wuxian said. I know you can't get up tomorrow and tell your father that you think he should allow the remaining Wen clan members to live peacefully, and he wouldn't listen to you even if you did. I'm just telling you, if you want Shi Jie to actually like you, she would appreciate your support in this matter, even if it's only just sticking a cork in your shitty cousin the next time he starts spewing filth. After a moment, Jin Sichuan nodded. Great, Wei Wuxian said. We'll be here another 3 days, and then I guess you guys will be visiting us next month to inspect the prison camp. So you'll have some time to practice. I'm going to go have my breakfast now. He turned to walk away. Behind him, Jin Sichuan cleared his throat and said, Thank you. You're welcome. Don't make me regret this. He half turned back and added, Oh, and maybe say something nice to your half-brother before he either cuts his own wrists or murders you all in your sleep, because honestly, I can't tell which way he's leaning right now, and it's disturbing as hell. Jin Sichuan nodded and grimaced. I try to at least be neutral to him because... His voice trailed off, the underlying. If I'm actively kind to him, I'll only end up on the receiving end of the same bullshit. Was still clearly audible. Wei Wuxian sighed. Let me tell you something I learned the hard way, Jin Sichuan. The world is a tough fucking place. Disaster can strike you when you least expect it, and it can fucking dismantle your life. You're going to need people to stand by you if that ever happens. So choose who you want those people to be, Jin Sichuan. Because from where I'm standing, Jing Guangyao is worth 10 of any of the other assholes in this place. And for once, it would be nice if somebody in his own fucking family acknowledges that. Jin Sichuan flushed somewhat, but he nodded, and then he turned and left the courtyard without another word. The 3 days at Koi Tower weren't as bad as they could have been. Wei Wuxian tried to avoid the Jeans as much as possible, and they seemed happy to let him do it. He had tea with the Lan brothers and Jing Guangyao. Lan Wangji was right. The hard eyes were not all that subtle. But that was as much contact as he had with any member of their clan. He mostly hung out with Nie Huaisang and Jiang Cheng. It reminded him of Cloud Recesses, which was bittersweet, but not entirely awful. They enlisted Nie Huaisang in their campaign to get Jiang Cheng hitched without causing a war. Nie Huaisang remembered Wen Qing from their days at Cloud Recesses and her time at the Unclean Realm, and Wei Wuxian figured he could drop some hints about how amazing she was to Nie Mingchui to get him to at least be neutral in the matter. Oh yeah, that'll be easy, Nie Huaisang said, waving his fan and surprising both of them. Ah, you two weren't there, were you? Jiang Xiang was off on some mission, and Wei Xiang, you were still training. Anyway, Daga got injured, and Wen Qing treated him. He was angry at first, but she was the only doctor there, and the wound was urgent. He told me later that he had expected to be laid up for a week afterwards, but with her treatment, he was all healed in 3 days. He was very impressed with her. That's Wen Qing for you, Jiang Cheng said proudly. Wei Wuxian smiled. Okay, well, maybe just mention to him that she's the chief doctor at Lotus Pier now and that she's making herself really useful, okay? Will do. Nie Huaisang looked thrilled to be taking part in this small subterfuge. Ah, that reminds me. I had lunch with Sangha yesterday. He's worried about what happened with Jin Sishun. I guess he got in trouble with Jing Guangshan later. Sangha got in trouble. I mean, not Jin Xishen. Wei Wuxian pinched the bridge of his nose. Why was Jin Guangyao in trouble? Because Jin Xishen and I got into a fight. Well, Jin Xishen blamed him for not mentioning the Lan sect's alcohol prohibition, which is stupid because he would have done it even if he'd known. In fact, I think he already knew. And that was exactly why he did it. So first Sangha got yelled at for that. But mostly Jin Guangshan was mad because he... Nia Huaisang broke off into a snicker. He didn't know Wei Xiong and Lan Xiong are cultivation partners. What? Wei Wuxian was astonished. How could he not know that? I swear, that's all anyone can talk about lately. Zhuojun has been planning our wedding, for crying out loud. I know, but Jin Songqiu doesn't pay any attention to anything that's not prostitutes or alcohol or sometimes, you know, Nia Huaisang waved his fan, things that will help him gain more power over the rest of us. That's surprisingly astute coming from you, Jiang Cheng said, giving Nia Huaisang a sideways look. Nia Huaisang pouted. Jiang Xiong, I'm not stupid. And people tell me things, you know. You think Sangha was off telling anybody else about how he got in trouble with his father? It's because I'm so lazy that people trust me not to cause trouble. Anyway, he added with another wave, Jin Songqiu didn't know about that because he didn't care about that. But he knows that Sangha must have known because, of course, you know, his enormous crush on Xichengge. Wei Wuxian gave a snort. I sure as hell hope he doesn't think he's being subtle about that. Nia Huaisang shrugged. That I couldn't tell you. So Jin Songqiu was yelling and Sangha was just utterly baffled because, like you, he'd had no idea his father hadn't known. He just assumed not everything flew over his head. I don't see why he'd care so much, Wei Wuxian said, frowning. What's the matter if Lan Chan is my cultivation partner? Alliances, of course, Jiang Cheng said. Jin Songqiu figured if he decided what we're doing with the Wen refugees wasn't to his liking, both Gusu Lan and Qinghe Nie would side with him. But if Lan Wangji is your cultivation partner, then Gusu Lan will side with us. And he's smart enough to know, presumably, that Zhuojin and Qifengzhen are close, which means Qinghe Nie might side with us as well. Wei Wuxian sighed. I hate politics. Me too, Jiang Cheng said, glum. But in this case, it's a good thing, he added. Jin Songqiu is thrown off balance, and he's not sure if the wind is blowing in his favor, which means he probably won't ask too many questions or make too big a fuss at Lotus Pier. And if Wen Qing and I wait until after you and Lan Wangji are married to announce our betrothal, then we'll be in an even firmer place. I guess, Wei Wuxian frowned. So how did Jin Guangyao react to being raked over the coals for no good reason? He was upset, but I know what you're thinking, Wei Xiong, and it won't work. Nie Huaisang shook his head. Sangha might have an enormous crush on Xichengge, but he's also smart enough to know they'll never have that sort of relationship. Especially since Lan Xiong has already pledged to you. Xichengge is the head of Gusu Lan. When he does marry, it will be to a woman to have children.
Which he absolutely does not wish to do.
Lan Wangji spoke up for the first time, from where he was meditating in his chambers.
But he is aware that it will be expected of him. I think he's been thinking about that more since I met you.
Nia Huaisang continued. So if Sangha has to choose between Xichengge and his father, he will always choose his father. It might be difficult for you to understand, but Sangha is desperate for his approval. He would do anything for it. It's actually not hard to understand at all, Jiang Cheng said, his eyes momentarily closing in pain. Wei Wuxian knew exactly what he was thinking. 100 harsh words from Madame Yu were going through his own mind as well. Oh, well, at least it was worth thinking about. Wei Wuxian nodded. And tomorrow we go home, so things could be a lot worse. We'll show off our prison camp. Lan Chan and I will get married, and then we'll make the way for you and Wen Qing. It'll happen, Jiang Cheng. Don't worry.
Attempt the impossible, right? Jiang Cheng said, with a slight smile, and Wei Wuxian laughed and agreed.
Jiang Yanli was in a good humor on their trip back to Yunmeng, and it eased Wei Wuxian's mind to see that the advice he had given Jin Sichuan seemed to have actually been taken to heart. Not only did it help his sister, but he figured it was no bad thing to have an ally in the Jin clan, even if it was one as generally useless as Jin Sichuan. Jiang Cheng, on the other hand, was anxious and abrupt with everyone. He wanted to go ahead so he could talk to Wen Qing, but he didn't want to leave his sister, even with Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji there to protect her. It took an hour for them to convince him. They didn't know how soon the Jin clan was going to insist on going, and none of them put it past Jin Guangshan to send people ahead without warning. The Wen refugees needed to be moved as soon as possible. Finally, Jiang Cheng agreed to ride the sword back to Lotus Pier, and the rest of them followed at the slower pace. "So when are we getting married?" Wei Wuxian asked Lan Wangji, and he let out an amused snort.
"Zhe Wujun and I are planning the wedding for midsummer," Jiang Yanli said excitedly. "He really wanted to have it at Cloud Recesses, so that will be the best time. I am so happy for you, Ashian. It's going to be amazing."
Lan Wangji agreed.
"You know, I was thinking,"
Wei Wuxian added,
"which you probably know, haha, but if your brother really finds the idea of a wife so awful, and the problem is just carrying on the Lan family name, I wouldn't mind if you, you know, had children with somebody else."
Lan Wangji turned and gave him a look of astonishment, the feeling of which drowned out all his other emotions. Finally, he managed a coherent thought.
"Exactly what woman do you think I would be having these children with?"
Wei Wuxian gave him an impish grin.
"Mian Mian?"
Lan Wangji made a disgusted noise and turned away. Jiang Yanli giggled, not knowing what they were saying, but clearly seeing that they were having a conversation.
"It's not a terrible idea, though,"
Wei Wuxian said.
"You and Zhe Wujun shouldn't have to be the last of your line, and I don't really want to be the last of mine. Plus, I always wanted to have children. You probably didn't. Children are noisy and messy, and I can't even imagine one at Cloud Recesses."
Except he could, and so could Lan Wangji, who was, at that moment, vividly picturing the two of them raising some children, preferably at least one boy and one girl, but more than two would be fine as well. His mind put together an entire future laid out in front of them. Little children with Wei Wuxian's mischievous streak, but Lan Wangji's work ethic, Wei Wuxian's resourcefulness, and Lan Wangji's strength. A litany of images flickered through his mind, of cultivation lessons and kite flying, guqin playing, and games of hide and seek. Wei Wuxian stopped walking, one hand going to his chest automatically, the entire thing taking his breath away. Lan Wangji stopped as well, and looked at him, concerned.
"What's wrong?"
"Nothing,"
Wei Wuxian managed, trying to somehow convey without words how much that dream of the future meant to him, how it gave him hope in a way he hadn't felt in almost a year. Lan Wangji's face softened, so the idea must have come across.
"I told you,"
Lan Wangji said,
"that there was a future for us."
He paused, then said,
"Can you not yet name that feeling?"
"I can,"
Wei Wuxian said, and he didn't need to say it because he felt it, thought it, screamed it from every internal mountaintop. "Love, love, love!" Lan Wangji smiled, a soft, gentle smile that felt like a warm embrace, and leaned in for a kiss. Jiang Yanli cleared her throat.
"I don't mind your little dialogues," she said, amused.
but you have to let me know if you're going to stop walking.
Ah, sorry, Shuqie,
Wei Wuxian said, flushing pink but unable to stop smiling.
Look at you, she said, laughing. I've never seen someone look so love-struck.
I'm fine with that, Wei Wuxian replied. They had been home for less than a week when the Jin clan showed up without warning. Wei Wuxian was fairly sure the only reason it had taken them that long was because they had gathered the leaders from several other smaller sects to come with them. Nia Mingchui was there as well, although he looked like he thought it was a waste of time. The tour went well. Lotuses weren't the only crops that could be grown in Yunmeng, just the one it was most famous for. The prison camp had fields of radishes and potatoes, and the farmers were tending it. All the adults were there. Granny and Ayuan had been relocated to Lotus Pier for the interim. The Wen remnants did their best to look downtrodden, wearing their oldest, dirtiest clothing, and cringing away from the looks of the cultivators. The Jin cultivators shouted obscenities and bullied them, but Jiang Cheng kept things fairly well in hand. Wei Wuxian heard about it from Lan Wangji, who went along. He didn't want to go himself, because he was fairly sure his presence would cause more harm than good, but he was worried about what would happen. But he would be at the dinner hosted that night, because he was still the head disciple. Wen Qing and Wen Ying were going to be there as well, mostly because they wanted to see how the Jin clan would react to them. Surprising absolutely nobody, Jin Sichuan immediately objected to their presence in the most offensive way possible. I don't want your Wen dogs touching my food.
I don't want your tiny dick at my table either, yet here we are,
Wei Wuxian thought, and Lan Wangji set down his cup of tea with a decisive click, glad he hadn't had a mouthful of it when that thought had crossed Wei Wuxian's mind. Jiang Cheng shot back. Wen Qing and Wen Ying are honored guests, not slaves, and certainly not dogs. They won't be touching your food. If you don't want to share a table with them, you're welcome to refuse my hospitality. So it's true then, Jin Zixin said. You didn't imprison all of them. I made no secret of the fact that Wen Qing and Wen Ying would be considered separate from the prisoners, Jiang Cheng said. They fought on our side during the war. Anyone who fought during the Sunshot campaign would be aware of that. Wei Wuxian was amused, because he was sure that Jin Zixin had fought during the Sunshot campaign. He remembered seeing him in the Unclean Realm. But it was still a subtle dig at the Jin clan, and their overall lack of participation.
She's your chief doctor now, isn't she? Nia Mingchui intervened,
although probably more out of interest and less to defuse the confrontation.
Hoi Song mentioned it to me.
To Wen Cheng, he added,
your skills are quite impressive. I don't recall if I thanked you that time, given the general chaos. I expected to need much longer for recovery than I did.
He bowed to her, and Wen Cheng bowed back. Seeing that his objections were getting him nowhere, Jin Zixin scowled and slumped back in his seat. Nia Mingchui and Wen Qing struck up a conversation about medicine, and he even ended up inviting her to the Unclean Realm for a visit at a later time, so she could pass on some of her techniques to his own doctors. Jiang Cheng watched this and smiled proudly, looking so utterly besotted that Wei Wuxian was beginning to think he wouldn't even need to announce the engagement. Since Wen Qing was obviously off-limits, Jin Zixin contained himself for all of 5 minutes before demanding of Wen Ying. And what about you? What glorious contribution did you make to the great campaign? The sarcasm bounced right off Wen Ying's good nature, who bowed to Jin Zixin and said,
mostly I assisted my sister, but I was part of the archery corps as well.
He's really very talented, Wei Wuxian immediately cut in. He was able to rival some of the best I've seen before he'd even had any formal training. Jin Zixin sneered. Why didn't you take part in the crowd hunt then, if you're so talented? Wen Ying gave a shy laugh.
I don't really like that sort of thing.
I get nervous shooting in front of people.
Nervous? Jinsi Shen gave an incredulous laugh. How pitiful.
Here now, leave him alone, Jinsi Chuan unexpectedly cut in. Do you imagine they had a lot of fun tournaments in the Nightless City? I seem to recall at your first tournament, when you were 8, you didn't hit a single target, and then you cried for an hour.
Wei Wuxian tossed his head back and laughed, far louder than he should have. Across the table, Jiang Yanli hid a smile behind her napkin. Jinsi Chuan snuck a look at her, blushing a shade of delicate pink, while his cousin flushed an ugly red. At the other end, Jing Guangyao smirked, looking like he much enjoyed Jinsi Shen being taken down a peg. Children, Jiang Cheng said, though he sounded amused. You're younger than all of us, Wei Wuxian protested, still laughing. Only physically, Jiang Cheng retorted.
But hey, Jinsi Shen, if you want a rematch, you're welcome to one, Wei Wuxian said. You should go kite shooting with us after the meal. I'm the best in all of Yunmeng, but I always welcome challengers.
I'll wipe the floor with you, Jinsi Shen immediately responded.
Kite shooting is very different from target shooting, Jin Argongxi, Wen Yang said. I still haven't come close to mastering it.
No surprises there, Jinsi Shen said. Amused that Wen Ying had given him an out and he had deliberately chosen not to take it, Wei Wuxian said, All right, you're on then. Shall we wager on who can shoot down the most kites in a session?
Wei Ying,
Lan Wengji warned.
Don't take this too far.
Absolutely, Jinsi Shen said.
Wei Wuxian grinned lazily, ignoring Lan Wengji's warnings.
How about this? If you can't shoot down even half as many kites as I do, then you're going to work a full day, sun up to sundown, in the prison camp alongside the Wen remnants, and they will be in charge of you, and you'll have to do every chore they give you, no matter how much you hate it. Flushing a darker red, Jinsi Shen retorted, Fine. And when I shoot down twice as many kites as you, you'll spend a week there with the same rules.
Deal, Wei Wuxian declared. Lan Wengji gave him a sour look and commented,
I'm sure this will go splendidly and won't have any repercussions at all.
Listen, you gotta let me have a little fun every once in a while,
Wei Wuxian replied.
Every time Wei Wuxian hit a kite, the tension ratcheted up along the shore. Every time Jinsi Shen missed one, it got even worse. By the time most of the kites were down, Wei Wuxian had shot down 11 and Jinsi Shen only 6. He was growing steadily more and more furious and humiliated.
Last one, Wei Wuxian said, eyes sparkling. And it's my shot, so if I make it, that's 12 for me and 6 to you. Hope you like turnip farming, Jinsi Shen.
Jinsi Shen looked like he was about to have apoplexy. Lan Wengji's mouth pursed.
Wei Ying, you should miss.
Like hell,
Wei Wuxian replied, lining up his shot.
Someone needs to teach this prick a lesson.
Wei Ying,
Lan Wengji said firmly.
Don't let your pride go to your head. It's bad enough that he's not going to shoot as many as you. If you make him work a day in that prison camp, he's going to be furious. Do you want your brother to be able to marry Wen Qing in this decade?
He felt the pride and anger on the other end of the bond melt away into weary resignation.
I know it's not fair, and I hate him as much as you do, but for your brother's sake.
For Jiang Cheng,
Wei Wuxian agreed. And loosed his arrow. It missed the kite by inches, and he feigned frustration, although laughing about it.
I guess the pressure just got to me. Jiang Cheng, why don't you shoot it down for us?
Jiang Cheng huffed, but picked up his bow and aimed carefully before loosing the arrow. It hit dead center and fell.
Nice shot, Jinsi Chuan said.
Thanks, Jiang Cheng replied, and Jiang Yanli beamed at them from her place among the spectators.
All right. 11-6, neither of you met the conditions of the wager. You three, he gestured at some of the younger disciples, go collect the kites.
I'll go with them,
Wei Wuxian said, handing his bow to his brother. Jinzi Shun sneered.
Isn't that chore a little menial for the head disciple?
Lan Wangji winced, and Jiang Cheng's breath caught in his throat. Because despite Jinzi Shun's general unpleasantness, he couldn't know what a landmine he was stepping on. Wei Wuxian's hand went to his chest, and he wheeled around, rage and pain flooding down the bond. Listen to me, you piece of shit! Wei Wuxian!
Jiang Cheng shouted, and Wei Wuxian stopped, his chest heaving for breath, fists clenched at his sides.
Quietly, Jiang Cheng said, go with the disciples and collect the kites. I will address this. After a long moment, Wei Wuxian nodded, bowed to Jiang Cheng, and walked away.
How dare he speak to me like...
Jinzi Shun began, and then suddenly found his mouth was glued shut. He glared furiously at Lan Wangji, trying to force sound from his mouth. To Jiang Cheng, Lan Wangji said, you will address this? Jiang Cheng nodded. The day the Wen attacked Lotus Pier, they captured our sixth disciple while he was collecting the kites. He was a mere child, only 12 years old. He nearly choked on the words, his voice ragged. We saw his body later, along with all the other disciples, even the children. Since then, either myself or Wei Wuxian has always gone out with the young disciples when they fetch the kites. I apologize for my brother's loss of temper, but as you can imagine, this is a very sensitive subject for us.
Of course, Jinzi Xuan said quietly. We understand.
He shot his cousin a glance. Still unable to speak, Jinzi Shun merely turned and stalked away.
Jinzi Xuan sighed. I apologize for his behavior.
Jiang Cheng waved it aside. He couldn't have known. He glanced at Lan Wangji. Can I impose on you to help with the kites, Han Guanjun? Lan Wangji nodded, knowing that Jiang Cheng wanted to check on his brother, but would be unable to while occupied with his duties.
I will go with you as well, Jinzi Chuan said, and added shyly, Jiang Gunyang, would you perhaps accompany me?
I would be happy to, Jiang Yanli said.
It only took a few minutes to catch up with Wei Wuxian, who had basically just walked far enough to be out of sight before sitting down to have a good cry. As they neared him, Lan Wangji said,
Jin Gongxi, if you and Jiang Gunyang would be willing to supervise the young disciples, I will fetch Wei Ying and bring him back to the Lotus Pier.
Jin Sichuan nodded. The two of them bowed to each other, and Lan Wangji left the path to find Wei Wuxian. When he did, he simply sat down next to him in silence, stroking his back and letting him cry.
I miss them so much sometimes, Wei Wuxian finally said. I wish you'd been here back then. It was always so happy and lively. I lost so many friends that day.
I know, Lan Wangji said,
thinking back to the attack on Cloud Recesses. To the bodies of the disciples he had been raised alongside, scattered on the ground.
Will it ever really be over? Wei Wuxian finally asked. Not out there, but in here?
He touched his chest, reached out, and put his hand against Lan Wangji's.
I don't know.
Wei Wuxian let out a shuddering breath and nodded.
One day at a time, right?
Lan Wangji agreed, taking his hand and pressing a kiss into his knuckles.
One day at a time. But it will be better once the Jin clan is gone. Of that, I am sure.